Here we go. Welcome to Security Get Ready with Black Hat 2016. What's your name, sir?
Hi, Mike Pittenger.
What's the name of your company?
Black Duck Software.
And what do you guys do?
So we produce software that other companies use to scan their code, either source or binaries, to identify the open source that's being used in the code. Once we've identified open source, we can tell you anything we want to know about it. We've been doing it for 14 years. We have 1.5 million different open source components in our knowledge base. But what we'll automatically surface is the licenses it was issued under for people worried about IP risk from GPL licenses. If there have been security vulnerabilities reported against it, so there are 2,000 to 3,000 reported against open source components every year.
2,000 to 3,000? Wow.
Yeah, and that's just an NVD.
Yeah.
And then we'll also give them a metric around operational risk. So larger companies want to make sure that the open source they're using is well supported. So we can tell them how many committers there are, if there are new versions of it out there, and that type of thing.
Okay, now, Security Guy Radio's reptilian brain has to get around this technically, right? So you guys are scanning the products that are scanning and protecting our network. You're like a compliance component for them, making sure it works?
So we do have customers who are software vendors or embedded software.
Right.
Most of our customers are large enterprises, technology companies. So think about, we think of big banks as being financial services companies.
Right.
One of our customers is a big bank, but they've got 20,000 software developers also.
Wow.
So they're producing a lot of software.
Right.
And open source is becoming a bigger and bigger portion of that software every year. We do on-demand audits as part of our business. And 5 years ago, when we look at those code bases, those that had 50% or more open source was about 3% of those that we looked at. This year, it's about 33%.
Wow.
So open source, it adds so much value to the software developers because it helps them get to market quicker, it lowers development costs and so on. It's going to be adopted no matter what we do. So just making sure that you know what you're using and can track it over time as new vulnerabilities are disclosed is important to them.
Well, that's brilliant. Now, are hackers taking advantage of this new market and saying, let me make some fake open code and make it look like it's real and slip it in? And is that a way for them to gain access?
It did happen in the Linux community years ago.
Oh, interesting.
A guy found it. He didn't get it into the code base. He was in a discussion thread and said, hey, I'm having trouble with this library. People downloaded the library, and it had backdoors in it. It was caught quickly by the community, and that's typically what happens. You know, you have the many eyes theory that in open source, so many people are looking at the code base that you're going to catch a lot of things.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, but unfortunately, a lot of them aren't security eyes.
So what is your company looking to gain out of Black Hat this year? What's the new element of your company that you'd like to promote?
Yeah, so a couple of things. Number one, we've been trying to get across the point that it's really good to use traditional testing tools like static analysis and dynamic analysis and so on. But you have to do that recognizing that they're not capable of finding the types of vulnerabilities that we're seeing in open source every day. So Heartbleed was in the code base for 2.5 years. I mean, how many thousands of times do we think that was tested by or pen tested even by humans? And yet, security researchers ultimately found that. Shell Shock was in the code base for 25 years.
And for my nieces and nephews, these are viruses, bad cold, maliciousware, what is it?
These are just vulnerabilities.
Oh, vulnerabilities, okay,
instead,
right.
Instead of, not necessarily malware.
Yeah, right. He's the egghead and I'm the human guy. All right.
Yeah. Keep going, please.
So we're trying to make them understand that it's good to do those things. We do them. But as a larger and larger portion of your code base is made up of open source, you also need to be keeping track of that. When Heartbleed came out, everybody's running around with their hair on fire.
Right?
They've got Nessus or Metasploit or Nexpose, and they're pointing at all the systems trying to figure out where
everybody's trying to play catch up at the same time.
Yeah. Our customers type in OpenSSL, and it immediately shows them every version in their inventory and which applications use each version.
It's a good tool. Very good tool. So what do you see as the biggest challenge for enterprise-level companies or tech companies that you're working with on a regular basis? What do you see the biggest challenges over the course of the next couple of years?
Well, from our standpoint, it's just making sure they're tracking the components that they're using.
Right.
Not just so that they know that they're secure when they release that product, but what happens afterwards.
As they become more in number, right?
Well, as those components age.
Right.
I mean, it's only software, right? It's not that it's more secure or less secure, but vulnerabilities do come up.
Sure.
And it's not that it's more secure or less secure, but open source certainly is an attractive target for an attacker.
Sure it is.
They have access to the source code.
And there's a lot more users out there with it, right?
Yeah, it's a target-rich environment.
Yeah.
We disclose the vulnerabilities, often with an exploit to prove the vulnerability. Most importantly, probably, is the support model. So if you license software, you have an obligation from that vendor to provide you with updates to tell you when there's a vulnerability. They're going to push your patch and so on. Open source turns that model on its head because you've elected to go to GitHub or SourceForge or wherever, download that component, build it into your system, and now you have an obligation to monitor it so that you know when there's a vulnerability. And if you take that fact that there are over 100 components in the average commercial application, over 100 open source components.
100, wow.
And in our study, about two-thirds of those had open source vulnerabilities.
Wait, two-thirds?
Two-thirds of the commercial applications we looked at. So we're not talking about vulnerabilities in the code they write.
We're just
talking about vulnerabilities that somebody else has reported in the open source components that they're using.
Now, by the way, great name.
Yeah, thanks.
You probably have to be 55 to understand what that means. You know what it means?
No.
See? Am I right? Okay. So there was a game called Black Duck, White Duck, and everybody sat around in a circle in grade school, and somebody walked around the circle and went, White Duck, White Duck, White Duck, White Duck, and if I tapped you Black Duck, you had to get up and chase me.
Same thing as Duck, Duck, Goose.
Yeah.
So that's maybe the more politically correct version, right? But we call it Black Duck, White Duck.
Right.
So the Black Duck is that one line of code that's like maybe got a problem.
Yeah.
So that's brilliant.
So we actually come up with a lot of reasons for it.
Yeah.
But the truth is that the founder of the company found a little Black Duck injured when he was a kid.
Okay.
Nursed it back to health, named it after an Army general.
Man, we have got a real story on our hands
here. Mine's a better
here.
Story. Tell your founder the mine's a much better story, right? But it is funny that it does kind of fit that model.
Yeah.
You're looking for
that one thing that's out of place. Yeah,
very interesting.
Now, very cool.
So I talked to a lot of internet people, a lot of coders. Carl Herberger from Radware is one of these industry guys that knows what's going on. We had an interesting conversation about where we reach a point called, I forgot what it's called. Anyway, so there's 12 notes in music, and eventually every song that could ever be written is going to be written. And he says, you know what, eventually the internet's going to become self-aware. Because every piece of code that could ever be written will have been written. And when you go to write a new one, there isn't any. And then the computer's going to say, I don't need to get your command. I'm going to go find one. That's the basis for artificial intelligence, right? Taking over, right? So where are we with this open source? Is it becoming the standard on the internet? You say 50% of people, was it about 50% of people that are doing coding using open source now?
No, it's about 98% of the applications we test have open source in them.
No, 98%. Oh, but the number has gone up of how
but,
it's progressing.
But, yes, so 10 years ago, people were using our software to find open source, often because they didn't want open source in their code base.
That makes sense, yeah.
They didn't trust it. They didn't like the licenses it was issued under and so on. Now they're adopting it. The U.S. government has adopted open source broadly.
Oh.
In fact, they're looking at open sourcing the code that they contract for.
Oh.
So to add more and more open source. But you're right. We track over 1.5 million unique open source components.
Wow.
And every version of those. And we've been doing it for a long time. But that number grows each year because open source is more popular. People are contributing it to it.
I like the idea. It's the collective... genius of everybody getting together. Is it really done for economic reasons more than genius level coding, or what's the driver on it?
For companies to use open source?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's economics.
That's the first driver.
It allows them to get to market faster without writing code from scratch. You can't really beat that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never really thought of that concept.
So.
Yeah.
Yep. World's changing a little bit, very quickly.
So the other big thing we're doing now around this is we're trying to double down on this. So there are a lot of vulnerabilities. It's more about now helping people fix those vulnerabilities. So we recently announced the Black Duck Center for Open Source Research and Innovation.
Black Duck has its own open source. Look at that.
That's right. So we do open source. Yeah. We do contribute to open source projects. We open source some of our software. But now we're going deeper into it using machine learning, trying to identify it earlier. We have people have relied on the National Vulnerability Database for years for vulnerabilities reported. It's only a fraction of them, so we use VulnDB for more of that. And then we have a team in Europe doing more security research on the particular vulnerabilities, how to remediate them, or how to mitigate the risk from them.
This has been fascinating.
Very much so.
Learn something. Company name one more time?
Black Duck Software.
Blackduck.com? Or no, BlackDuckSoftware.com. Okay.
Yeah.
And your name?
Mike Pittenger.
And your title?
Vice President of Security Strategy.
Excellent. Mike,
thanks
for coming on the
thanks
show.
Very
appreciate
much.
It.
And, appreciate it. Have a great day.
Come on, let's do a 60-minute show one day.
Sure.
This is fascinating stuff to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can go long a long interview on this kind of stuff.
Yeah, good. Absolutely.
Thanks for coming on. Let's get rid of it.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys.